start.
Does it ever usually wear the mic when they have this, or?
I haven't done this in a few years. If you think it's better, I can wear it. Okay. Okay, good evening, everyone. So we're continuing in the halachas of chazara, of returning a pot to a stovetop or the like on Shabbos. And I do want to first go back on one point that was mentioned last week, which I believe I may have, I don't think I said it perfectly accurately, in terms of the sheet of Rav Moshe Feinstein on the specific matter. We were talking about a blech, if you have a conventional blech covering a stovetop, and you only have, let's say, one or two fires on, and the other two are off, so the blech in some spots of the blech are directly over a fire and very hot. Other spots are still quite hot and could get your food to Yad Soledes Bo, but they're not directly over the fire. And then there may be areas of the blech which aren't even so hot. So we mentioned that B'Shem Rav Moshe that each area is treated differently. So I believe I did say that according to Rav Moshe, area 3, which is the area where it's not hot. It's not particularly hot at all. It can't even get your food to be Yad Soledes Bo. It may be somewhat warm, and if you put some food there, it would warm up a little bit. It would lose its chill, but it would never get to Yad Soledes Bo. So he said that area is considered to be off the fire, and ad kedei kach that you could even take, according to Rav Moshe, you could even take food from the refrigerator, food which is fully cooked and dry, so that you don't run into a problem of bishul or bishul achar bishul. So food is fully cooked and dry, and you on Shabbos you could put it on that area, even though on Shabbos you cannot put food onto the blech on an area which is over the fire or which is close to the fire that gets it hot, but that third area you could. So that's correct. Rav Moshe does say that. But Rav Moshe also says that if your pot started off on Shabbos by area 1 or 2, area 1 being directly over the flame or area 2 being next to the flame where it's still very hot, if it started off on Shabbos over there, even if you moved it on Shabbos to area 3, you could move it back. I think last week I said that once you move it to area 3, then it's out. You can't move it back. But l'chor for Rav Moshe's tshuva, it seems not that way. It seems for Rav Moshe's tshuva is that as if it started off, when Shabbos began, it was on area 3. Right, Shabbos started, and it's not by the fire mamish, or it's not even on area 2. It's off to area 3. Then he says, then you cannot move it on Shabbos to areas 1 or 2. But if on Shabbos, when Shabbos began, it was over the fire, or it was even on area 2, and you moved it off to area 3 at some point, you could slide it back. And the reason he says this, or the reason why he's making on this, It's dependent on a shita of the Ran, which the Rama brings, which I want Kedai to mention, and this is a good place to mention it. The Rama brings a Ran who says that which we've been learning about, that we learned last week, in order to put a pot of food back onto the flame after you took it off on Shabbos, back onto, I should say, a covered flame. We said it has to be covered and the food has to be fully cooked and still hot. But we also mentioned two other conditions which the Rama requires. One, that you, when you take it off, you have in mind to put it back, right? And number two, that you don't put it down. You hold it. Oda biyado, you leave it in your hand and don't put it down. We discussed different ways of maybe putting it down while leaving your hand on, etc. But basically, the requirements, two additional requirements from the Rama are that it be daito lahachzir, and that it's oda biyado, he's still holding it. So the Rama says that the Shita of the Ran is that those conditions only apply if you took the pot off of the flame or off of the blech before Shabbos, and now you want to put it back on once Shabbos has begun. So that, in other words, when Shabbos began, the food was off. It was sitting on your counter. It had been cooked before Shabbos, and it's still hot, it's fully cooked. It's still even hot, or hot enough to put back. But you put it down on the counter, or you didn't have in mind to put it back. That's where those conditions are going to create a problem. You can't put it back in the flame if you're missing both of those conditions. We mentioned last week from the Mishnah Berurah that b'dieved, as long as you have one of them, you could be makel. But if you're missing both of those conditions, you didn't have in mind to put it back, and you let go of it, you put it down even on a countertop or a table or a bench, you can't put it back. So the Ran holds that's only if you took it off before Shabbos and want to put it back on Shabbos. But once Shabbos began, if the food was on the blech, and now you want to take it off and put it back, according to the Ran, you could do so even if you didn't have in mind, says the Mishnah Berurah, and even if you put it down. These conditions don't apply. These conditions only apply if you, as I said, you took it off before Shabbos and putting it back on Shabbos. So the Rama said that this is a chiddush, right? Last week, we were discussing the standard case of a person taking it off the flame or off the blech on Shabbos, right? And he wants to put it back on Shabbos. So we said you have to meet all these conditions. And that is the shita that we try to comply with. I'm not retracting that. But I'm just saying the Rama does bring down a shita of the Ran. That's not true. Once Shabbos began, as long as the pot was on the blech when Shabbos began, you don't have to worry about those two conditions. You could take it off and put it back even if you didn't have in mind, and even if you let go, etc. And the Rama says the Iker Hadin is like the Ran. Iker Hadin, that's really what we hold. Or at least he says, V'chein no'agin l'hakel. The minig is to be maker like the Shita. But tov l'hachmer. The Rama says tov l'hachmer. But by the way, this is also why the Mishnah Berurah was Mekel. I mentioned last week, I just said it again now, that b'dieved, as long as you have one of the two conditions, it's okay. But according to the Ran, you don't need either condition. When, again, if you took it off on Shabbos, right, which is the case, that's the normal case. You took it off on Shabbos, like Friday night, and you want to put it back. So according to the Ran, you don't need either of those two conditions. So the Mishnah Berurah says, b'dieved, as long as if you have one of them, you can be mekel. But that's also why Rav Moshe is mekel, b'tziruf, the sheet of the Ran. Rav Moshe says, if on Shabbos you moved it off to Area 3, which is really considered off the fire from Rav Moshe's perspective, but no, it's close enough to the fire that you know, b'tziruf, the sheet of the Ran, who says that doesn't make a difference what you do with it. According to the Ran, even if you put it on the floor, you could put it back on. So Rav Moshe is mekel. Whereas if you did that before Shabbos began, you moved it to Area 3, and when Shabbos began, the chalent was sitting on Area 3, and now you want to move it back to the fire, that already you don't have, of course, you know, you don't have the Ran to support you, and then Rav Moshe says you can't do it. Okay? Yes.
Area 3 you call the cold place, right? The last,
which just barely warm.
If you load it around, you could move it back to the fire. Even
once again?
If it's Shabbos and it's Area 3, you can't put it on the...
So I'm saying, if when Shabbos started, it was
like
by one or two. But if when Shabbos started, it was by one or two, and you moved it off, you could move it back. If when Shabbos started, it was already on three, then you said, like, it's on the counter. It's like it's off the black hole together. That's Rav Moshe Shita. Okay. Okay, so now what I...
And according to the other sheetahs who hold that the earth was still considered Ram, in that case,
Ram, Holy, still can move back. L'chor, I think we mentioned Rav Yashav, right? Rav Yashav, this quote in the Shvus Yitzchak saying that even Area 3, as long as it's an area where it's kedai to put your food there, meaning it'll do something to the food. It won't make it yassoletis, but it'll warm it up a little, so it's all considered a chelik of the kira. And therefore, he says that both L'chumra and L'kula, right? L'chumra, that you can't put something there on Shabbos from the fridge.
Right, but was there
but
before Shabbos?
But you should be able to move it back.
Would
we be
makel
in
that situation if someone left?
I don't know, because typically, at least in America, we follow Rav Moshe on this, and it's a kula. Even Rav Moshe is a kula that if you moved it to Area 3, the Chazon Ish holds that once it's on Area 3, even if it got there on Shabbos, you can't move it back at all, which is I think what I said over last week, B'Shem Ramosha, which is not Ramosha, but the Chazinish does hold that way, that once it's moved to Area 3, even on Shabbos, it's like you took it off altogether and you can't put it back. So I think the Sheet of the Chara that we should go with is Ramosha Sheet, which is sort of in the middle. And if it happened on Shabbos, okay, but if it happened before Shabbos, better not. Look, if it's the person's only food for Shabbos or only hot food and this and that, you can ask a shot on the spot sometimes. Once again?
If you have an issue, you have a moon song.
Yeah, okay.
The remove brings down the killer. So
no, but the cool of the Ramah is only if it happened on Shabbos. Yeah, on Shabbos. No, he was asking before Shabbos.
Oh.
Yeah, right. Okay. Okay, now, I wanted to, there's a Shiloh in the postgame, and this is something that happens. I think we might have referenced it the other time, but I don't think we discussed the details. This happens frequently, variations of this. And that is that somebody took the pot off the fire, off the blech, mistakenly. Meaning, he thought it was a different pot. He thought it was the Friday night soup, and he takes it off without intending to put it down, to put it back, because... He thought it was the soup. It's not going back on the blech. And then after he takes it off, he realizes that it's not the soup. It's the chon. It's the Shabbos day chon. So, if it's not fully cooked, then you finish. There's nothing you can do about it. If it's not fully cooked, meaning ready to serve, we said many times, you're not allowed to put it back on the blech, no matter what. However, if it is fully cooked. If it is fully cooked, it's just a question that you took it off without das to put it back, and so if you're still holding it, for sure you can put it back, right? We said but the evidence as long as you have one of those two conditions, you're still holding it. But let's say you put it down, you brought it to the dining room table to serve, or you're going to serve from the kitchen, so you put it down on the kitchen table to serve, and then you realize you take off the cover and you see it's the chant, it's not the soup. So, the shaila is, could you put it back? So, and what perhaps what's at the crux of the shaila is when we say that you have to have daita l'hachzer, does that mean you have to have intent to put it back? Is it that you need positive das to put it back? And if you don't have positive das, then when you took it off, it's considered a siluk, it's considered that you've completely severed it from the stove and can't go back? Or is it, no, you don't need positive das to put it on when you took it. You just can't have the opposite. You can't have das not to put it back. It can't be that you were specifically intending not to put it back. And here it would make a chilek. When I took it off, I didn't intend to put it back, but I didn't have positive das not to. Or and to the extent that I did, perhaps it was that was betos because I thought it was something else. I didn't want the chant off the fire. I want the chant on the fire. I didn't realize this was the chant. I thought this was the soup. But okay, but I still didn't have das to put it back. But on the other hand, I certainly didn't have das to leave the chant off. So Rabbi Kiveger on the Shulchan Aruch here that discusses, see, if Kiveger starts off with a different shaila, he says, what happens if somebody else takes off your pot? It takes off your pot from the blech. Somebody, either with permission, without permission, somebody takes your pot off. Does that go, are we going to say, oh, so finished, he took it off, and now, and he put it down on a safsal or something. Are we going to say that, okay, so he took it off, so finished, it's like you took it off, without us to put it back. He didn't have us to put it back. Or do we say no? Ain adam osir davar she'eino shelo. You can't. That's my pot. You can't osir my pot. You can't make it that my pot is us to put on the blech. Now, of course, ain adam osir davar she'eino shelo. Just very briefly, if somebody takes milk and he pours it into your pot of chicken soup and it's more than echad b'shishim, your chicken soup is osir and you can't say no. Ain adam osir davar she'eino shelo. You can't osir my food. It's still kosher. No, that's ridiculous. Of course, because you don't need anyone to do it. I mean, if it happened by itself, it would also be us. I mean, it's the mitzius. It's the fact that milk and meat are mixed together. That's us. It makes a difference who did it or what.
Like the chavos animal for the bas hamikdash.
Which case?
Makdash animal to bas hamikdash.
Yeah, well,
not allowed to.
Yeah, well, that doesn't work, right? You know, the makdish davshena shelo, shena b'shuso, right? Yeah, that's exactly the custom. That has to be my base of shelo, and b'shuso afkol shelo. Yeah, it's not typhus, but. Right, so there, by buses for muksa, there it says, taka, that a person cannot make it a buses because he doesn't have the koach. Right, so because the pshat is there by buses, the way it works is that the buses becomes like tuffle to the muksa, right? So you can't have the koach to make my thing tuffle to muksa if I didn't want it, you know. Okay, so Rabbi Akiva Eiger clears the shaila here, and he comes out that In certain cases, it'll be a machlokos rishonim. In certain situations, something which is purely on the maisa, not on the das, it's not going to make a difference. It's sure going to be able to aser. But something which is tali on machshava, it's not tali purely on the maisa. It's tali on the machshava behind it. So that he says machlokos. I think Tosfos and the Rash. So. So it, within that, Rav Akiva Eiger, he's working with the yesod that by taking the pot off the blech, it requires das not to put it back on. It requires a das not to put it back on, and therefore the shaila is, oh, I didn't have das not to put it back on. He did. Reuven did. Reuven took my pot off and he got das not to put it back on. Maybe he did it, whatever he's in, he did it. So there, it'll. I think if I recall, Rav Akiva Eiger says it'll be totally on the machlokas, Tosfos and the Rash, whether you could put it back on. But if I took it off myself, right, and but by mistake, I took it by mistake, and I didn't have das not to put it back on. I did not have das not to. Nobody did. In Rav Akiva Eiger's case. Reuven did. Reuven had das not to put. Reuven took my pot off with das not to put it back on. But here I took off my pot. I didn't have das not to put it back on. I just didn't realize what I was doing, and so I didn't have das positive das to put it back on. So yeah.
You could say the same thing that Reuven, because it's not his pot, he's not allowed to put it back. Even he thinks he's going to put it back because it's not his. In the first place, it's not allowed to take it off.
Right. Okay. So you mean so it shouldn't affect it shouldn't.
No, he can't put it back. He would think to put it back.
Oh, why?
Because it's not his.
Why? Well,
he's not the boss on the mind.
No, but if he, no, I'd rather. I mean, if he's saying
work, you can't work.
Yeah. No. If he had no right to take it off, he had no, you know, no rishus, no bailus on it to take it off. So I'm not going to say once he did take it off, now for sure he can't go back. That his das to put it back on, I'd rather, because if we rechazach with his das of taking it off. So then we have to also, you know, his das to put it back on is also going to work. What? Zachen? I'm not sure if Zachen works. I mean, Zachen only works if I could do it. I didn't even know if the Shalavim could. I could do it.
No, I'm assuming that you can do it.
I see. Okay, no, so I don't think that's the shaila. The shaila is though, could he ruin it? Could he take it off and without having mind not to put it back on? Does that forbid it from going back on? Does that forbid somebody from putting it back on? Forbid me from putting it back on? Which, as I said, Rav Akiva says that would be tali to machlokas as we've shown. But b'kitzer, the bottom line is in the case where I took it off by mistake, many achronim are makel. And that's the way we rely on Lamaisa, that you could put it back on. We're talking again that, you know, of course, all the other conditions are met. It's still hot and it's fully cooked and the fire is covered. So you could. Lamaisa, you took it off by mistake, you could put it back on. And another Shaila Puskim talk about similar. Let's say nobody took it off, but the fire went out from underneath it. So you have a fire, a gas range, and the fire went out. Or it could be an electric range and the electricity went out, or, you know, there's a power outage or we blew a circuit, whatever it is. So the ash underneath it went out. So and then I discover that this happened when it's still hot. Could I move it onto another? The neighbor, right? Or maybe I might myself. I might have another. Maybe sometimes people have a crock pot and they also have a plach on the soap top or something. In fact, somebody just recently, somebody asked me. It was on a Friday night. They his wife had more than they were having a lot of bachrim over in the day, so they had more than one chalent up, and one particular chalent was in a crock pot. And before it was cooked, she cooked it completely cooked, and then before Shabbos she turned it down, intending to leave it on like a keep warm setting. But she turned it a little bit too far, so it was somewhere between keep warm and off, and he wasn't sure if it had been turned off, and he wasn't sure how far if the revolution of the knob that she did was sufficient to actually turn it off. It's Friday night, so they can't tell now because it's still hot. But he doesn't want to wake up Shabbos morning and put his hand on the shalt and find out the hard way that it was really turned off. So the shaila was, he said they had a Shabbos hot plate, which was plugged in and therefore hot, and it would be fine to move it. If they moved it onto that, that would be fine for the shalt. Question is, are they allowed to do that? Are they allowed to take the shalt from there and move it? Now, this case, it didn't go off mamish by itself, but She did not intend to turn it off. She wanted to leave it on. She just wanted to leave it on kibbutz setting. And it could be it's not even off. They weren't even sure it's off. But it was chashish that it might be off. But as I said, if it was off, it was only off machbas toast. It was like his wife twisted her hand a little bit too far, twisted the knob a little bit too far. So cases like this, where it went off by itself or was turned off by mistake or by accident, so we also allow, halacha lemaisa, we allow moving it onto another source of heat if you have. The halacha is, in general, you're allowed to move something mikira lakira. You're allowed to move something, we mentioned this, from one covered fire or from one even uncovered fire to a covered fire, to a stovetop or a plata. We mentioned the plata according to many Pesachim, does not even need to be covered if it's a plata that has no settings. We say Lefir Shlomo Zalman and others, it's considered Garfa Katim automatically, Legabi, Shia, and Chazara. So this is called Chazara. Moving it from one fire, from one source of heat to another, is called Chazara, and therefore you could do that.
In that case, you could call a Goy to fix it.
Oh, so that's a very difficult shaila. Now, which
rather move it to a different.
If you have the option of moving to a different one, you definitely should do that.
Calling
a guy here to turn it on, which this is something we wasn't going to get into yet, but we could just mention it briefly. This is a large, big discussion at the end of Reish and Gimel, the role of a new Yehudi in saving your Shabbos food. So the thing is here, it was the crock pot. And if you're going to call a guy, what you're asking the guy to do is to turn it to a setting, to the kibbutz setting, on the side that it's really off, right? So he's mamish doing it is a deraisa, something that for the yid would be a deraisa, right? It's not just a shail of chazara, and the food's still hot, that's not a problem. But the problem is he's turning...
electricity is not deraisa.
Electricity, according to many poskim, let's say without the chazonish, agree is not deraisa. But electricity that turns on a cooking device is when there's coils, even though you don't see them, but there are coils in the crock pot that heat up the food. That is deraisa. Well, electricity is not deraisa. It's like stama motor. You want to turn on an electric fan, or you want to, an air conditioner, even, or an electric clock. All these things. Electricity itself is the rabbanon, but not if it lights up a fire, not if it causes an ash, something that has been ash. If you're mechami mateches to the point that it gets hot, okay, it gets red, rather, that's bishul. That's bishul derived. Bishul or havara, that's ayin in the beginning of Mishnah Berurah, and the different achronim, is it bishul or is it havara? Is it both? But that's for sure deraisa. So let's not make a mistake. Having a guy turn on a crock pot is a deraisa. Having a guy, like I said, turn on an electric fan or an air conditioner, according to many poskim, is not deraisa. That's a machlokas poskim. The chazanim say it's bona, others say it's not deraisa. But turning on a crock pot or something, that is deraisa. That is deraisa. So you. Sorry? According to, if you don't hold with the chazanish, we neman that is not considered a deraisa. But here this would be a deraisa. Now, it's not sure that it's off, but you're asking the guy to do something on the tzad that it's not off. You don't need the guy. You need the guy because you're chashish that it's off. You're asking him to do something which is a deraisa. If it's anything, it's a deraisa. If it's happening, it's a deraisa. So that would not be advisable. It would if they had no option, then we could. Claire, is there makom to be making on that? But let's leave that for a different discussion at a different time.
The problem was that the guy was turning on the fire. The problem was that it was bishul.
No, not bishul. No, it was no problem bishul. It was fully cooked and it was still hot. The problem was that the guy would be turning on the coil, turning on the electric coil, and turning the crock pot from off to on. That is deraisa, even if there's no food in it.
Right.
Okay. Okay. So I said, in these cases, we do allow moving it to a different flame, and or like I said, if we're putting it back in the case where you took it off without specific das. Okay, there's a lot of rate about that, but if you want to look into it, there's a shtickle in the Avi Ezri from Rav Shach, who he's matzmi on Rav Kiveger. That Rav Kiveger assumes as a pashtus that you don't have to have positive das to put it on. You just can't have das not to be on. Rav Shach takes the looks at it like totally from the other. It's a short piece. He just like totally matmi on Rav Kiveger mehechi tesi that's the havana here. Well, I'm not sure what you say. That's good for the need. Do you have to have kavanah to return it, or do you have to just not have kavanah to not return it? That's because when a person usually either thinks one way or the other. So when you go to take it off, we don't say, okay, close your mind and just take it off without thinking. We say, take it off with the das to put it back. That doesn't mean because you need the das, because it could be just because we don't want it to be that you don't have das. Those are the two normal situations. You took it off, planning on putting it back on, or not planning on putting it back on. You don't normally do something, you don't know what you're doing. You just take it off by like a robot, and now, oh, should I put this back on? That's a good child. I don't know. What do you think? Should I put it back on? I mean, usually you either take it off, planning on putting it back on, or not planning on putting it back on. So that's what we talk about. Oh, have das to put it back on. But Kivega is saying that's not the nakuda. It's not the nakuda that you have to das, it's that you can't take it off with the intention of leaving it off. That's okay. Now another thing which is very important, I don't think I discussed this here at all, it's very pertinent here. I did discuss, this was the topic I spoke about the very first year we had Shabbos morning before davening, and Shabbos Bereishis, this was the topic. And that is, what if you want to add water to your chalent? Let's say you find that your chalent is a little bit, it seems like it's drying out. It's a little, either you left it on too high, or you put into it, not enough water, whatever it is. But the chalent seems to be drying out, and you want to add water to the chalent so that it's not ready to serve yet. So you want to add water so that it'll be ready to eat properly when you're ready to serve it. Can you add water, and if so, what are the conditions? Now, clearly, you can't just go over to the tap and fill up a cup of water and pour it into your chalent pot. Right? That kuli amalo pligi, right? If you do that, you'll be over chaman slam many things. First of all, bishul. That's bishul derech. You take a cup of water from the tap and pour it into the chalent pot, which whether it's in a crock pot or whether it's on anything, and that water gets the atzeletus bow. That's mamash nisa deraisa lekuli amalo. So obviously, you can't do that. Another reason you can't do that is that, maybe a lesser reason, but it's also, that would be called nesina lechatchila. You took water which was not on the blech, right, not on a fire, and you put it onto a fire on Shabbos. Maybe a covered fire, but onto a fire. Whether in the crock pot, whether on the blech, you put it onto a... So you did what's called nesina lechatchila. Nesina lechatchila, not allowed to do. Well, the topic we're learning about is chazara. Chazara means something that was already on the fire. You take it off and put it back. But if it wasn't there, if it wasn't on the fire when Shabbos began, it wasn't on the fire, you can't put it on Shabbos. So you can't take water. This water was never on the fire. Water that you get out of your tap was never on the fire. It was in the pipes under your house, and then in your plumbing system. That's where it was. So it was never on the fire. So of course you can't put it, even if it wouldn't be bishul, but you can't put it onto the fire because nesina lechatchila. So that's clearly you can't do that. The only option of adding water would be water which is first of all already cooked, so that you're not over bishul. Has to be water that's already mavushal. And it would have to be water that not only is already mavushal, but it's still hot enough that there's no issue of bishul achar bishul, which we learned going back a few weeks. Initially, we learned that according to the Mechaber and the Minhag HaSfaradim, it would have to still be yad soledus bo. The water that you want to put into the chalent, you'd have to be taking from some place in your kitchen or somebody's kitchen, water that's yad soledus bo. right? And whether from an urn or on a, you know, in a kettle, somewhere Yatzeh Lezbo. But even according to the Ramah, which the Ashkenazim follow, it wouldn't have to be Yatzeh Lezbo, but it still has to be somewhat hot. It can't be completely cold. If it's Nitzdani Legamre, if it's completely cooled off, you can't reheat it on Shabbos, again, because of Bishul. So we need water, again, that was completely cooked to begin with, and it's still at least somewhat hot. Let's go Lefi the Ramah. It's still somewhat hot. It's still not completely cold. And then, okay, so now, and it has to be coming from an Eish. It has to be coming from some sort of Eish, like I just said, because if it's not coming from some sort of Eish, then you can't put it onto an Eish. That would be Nesin Lechatchila. So we already have three major conditions you have to meet. Now, you could meet all those conditions if you have water. Let's say you have a tea kettle, which is the simplest case. In the old days, again, when you were growing up, you had a blech. Over one place there's a chalent pot, and the other place is a tea kettle. Before everyone had electric urns, a tea kettle with water that you have so that you could, you know, have hot water on Shabbos for tea or coffee. And that water, let's just assume, for the moment, to make it simple, that water was boiled before Shabbos, right? Boiled is for sure. I'm a vegetable called Sarko with water. That's for sure. And it's still hot, it's on the fire. So you have all three conditions. It was completely cooked, it's still hot, and it's on the fire. So that water could go into your chalent pot, right? Now, well, a few more conditions had to get it in, but at least so far we've isolated some water that could be used for this purpose. Now, just want to focus in. I said if you boiled it before Shabbos, it's for sure okay. Let's say you didn't boil it. Let's say it's taka coming from an electric urn. Electric urn is also considered al ha'esh, but is a mavushal called sarko? Well, let's say your electric urn doesn't boil it mamish, but it gets it nice and hot. So there are two other sheath. There are three sheath in what's called mavushal called sarko by water. Some say it has to be boiled. The other extreme, Ramosha says in a tshuva, it just has to be Yatzeh Lezbo. If you got it to Yatzeh Lezbo, it's already called Mavushal Kotzarko. So Yatzeh Lezbo will use for this purpose the, I would say, you know, 160 degrees. It has to be at least 160 degrees. But if it's 160 degrees before Shabbos, and now it's still, even if it's not that hot, but it's still not in its standard legamri, it's not completely cooled off. So that, according to Ramosha, that water would also be good. And the middle sheet is it has to be considered completely cooked by water. It has to be around 190. Not boiled mamish, but more than Yatzeh Lezbo. It has to be like 190, which is the temperature that often they heat up water to before you make a cup of coffee or tea or something. So, okay, so let's say whatever it is, your urn gets the water nice and hot, just to be safe. Let's work with 190. It gets that hot, and it's still hot, and it's still al ha'esh because it's still in the urn, electric urn or, you know, conventional urn. So fine. So you have water that you could use. So you want to pour it into your chalent pot. So by pouring into your chalent pot, basically what you're doing is moving from one kira to another. Right? We said it's mutter lahavir mikira lakira. You're allowed to move food from one kira, from one stovetop, from one cooking device to another on Shabbos, even if the second one is hotter than the first. So that's fine. That's perfectly fine. The only thing is, we did mention last week that on Shabbos you're not allowed to take food out of a pot while it's still on the flame, right? We said that. We said you're for sure not allowed to stir, even if it's mavushal called sarko, even if your child is mavushal called sarko, you're definitely not allowed to stir it while it's over the flame, even if it's on a blech, but it's over the flame, you can't stir it. If it's on area number one, for sure you can't stir it. And we even said that you're not supposed to take with a spoon either. You're not supposed to take food out of a chalent pot on Shabbos straight from the fire. You're supposed to take it off the fire. So hu adin lechatchila, you're not supposed to pour water in while it's on the flame. Because pouring water in also moves it around, moves the food around, or some explain because it's the derech that when you pour water in, what do you then? You stir it, right? Because you want the water to integrate properly, especially if your chalent's starting to burn. You want the water to integrate. So you pour the water in and you stir it. So if you're going to pour water in, you might, while it's still on the flame, you might stir it on the flame. Not allowed to stir it on the flame. So therefore, the Pesukim say, lechatchila, you have to lift it off the flame before you add the water. Now remember, we're talking about, it's fully cooked, your child, right? Too cooked, maybe. But it's definitely fully cooked. So the best thing would be get one person to lift the pot up. I'll ask to put it back, and not to put it down anywhere, right? Hold it, oh, the biyado, hold the pot in his hands, and then the other person carefully pour the water into the chalent pot. Right? So far, so good. So again, the water, which was completely cooked, still hot, came from a fire, and you're pouring into a chilim pot, which you've removed from the fire temporarily to add the water, and then you'll place it back on the fire.
Can I just we said before the third problem was that it's not the Sina thing.
The Sina l'chadchila?
Right, so that means the water.
If the water is not coming from a flame or from a cooking device, if the water is coming from the even if it's hot water, but it's coming from a tap or something, if it was never cooked, if it was never on al ha'esh, when Shabbos starts, it's not al-ha'esh, then you're not allowed to put it on Shabbos.
But if it was water that was al-ha'esh, then cooled down, but you know, it's still somewhat hot. That wouldn't be a problem.
As long as it was taken off the ha'esh, al-das to put it back. Right. As long as you could do. But the point is, you're doing chazar on the water also, right? Wherever you're taking the water from, and you're moving it to chilim pot, that's also chazara. You're taking the water out of the urn, and moving it now into the chilim pot. So you're taking off out of the urn is off the eish, and now you're pouring it into a chilim pot, which is going back on the eish. So you're doing chazara on the water. So you have to make.
So you can put
another cup,
because that would.
Oh, wait a second. You just made an assumption there.
That would be off the.
Okay, we'll get to the comments, but one second. Okay, but Sofa was saying we just added the condition that you take the chilim pot off the flame when you do it and have someone help you and pour the water in, right? Okay. The question is, though, do you have to pour it directly from the urn? Or could you pour it into, let's say, another keli, and from that keli, pour it into the chilim pot? Does it have to go direct? Or could it go via another keli?
It has to go direct, so you put in another keli. The funnels from the keli is starting ready to cool it off.
Okay, but so if you follow the Mechaber, then you're right. Then you're 100% right. Then you're right.
It's like keli.
It's a klisheni. And you can't pour it back into Kli Rishon.
Yeah.
Beautiful, 100%. But according to the Ashkenaz, according to the Ramah, that's not a problem. According to the Ramah, just to be alone at Stein and Legamri. It could be Gans, lost a lot of heat. It could be a klisheni. It's just, you're allowed to reheat water from a klisheni, according to the Ramah. You could pour from a klisheni back into a kli rishon. Let's say off the fire, right? Stam, you pour from a, you take your hot kettle off the fire, and you're not putting it back, for whatever reason. And you pour some water into a klisheni. Could you pour that back into the kettle? According to the Ramah, you could, as long as it's not in the stand of the gamri. It doesn't make a difference that the fun has started to cool it down. According to the Mechaber, you're right. Because Mechaber, once it's considered not yotzeletis, but or it's considered klisheni, it's called sonein, it's called cold, it can't go back into a kli rishon. And there's a bir halacha that says this in Shin Yud Ches. I'll just point it out that bir halacha is going lefi the shita of the Mechaber, as the post can point out. Shin Yud Ches, I think, on Sif Dalet, and the bir halacha says that bir halacha liber maschil im nitzane. He says, mhurak el klisheni, if it's still even say atzeletis bo, you know, there's a problem of bishul. But that's only lefi the Mechaber. The Ramah is not true. But the Shaila is, when you pour it into another keli, is that like now you totally took, severed it? Does that make a problem chazara? Do we say that you want to do chazara, it has to go straight? You can go from kira to kira, but it can't take a stop in between in a foreign keli. Just take a keli out of your cabinet and pour it in there and then do chazara.
Of course, it might be good though.
Sorry?
Of course, the Ramah should be good, though, because it's like pouring, put the spot number three back number one.
Well, but no, wait, this is not spot number three. This is a keli I just took out of my cabinet. So it's much less than spot number three.
It's a different feel, right?
So Ramah grabbed the holes his taka also to do this. Ramah writes in a tshuva, and I also in Sefer Hilchos Shabbos from Rabbi Eider, that you can't. And I heard this from it first as well, that you can't. It has to go directly from the urn into a pot.
If you take water from an urn, anyways, you can't unplug the urn from electric, so you have to take the chum to the urn.
No, the question is, can I take another cup? Can I take a styrofoam cup and pour it there and then? I'm not unplugging the urn. I'm wondering, could I take a styrofoam cup and pour the water into that and then pour the styrofoam cup water into the chum? That's the shot.
That's the feel. I'm saying, if you're going to fill water from an urn, direct from the urn, you can't bring the urn to
okay,
the
fine.
So you're taking your pot, you bring it under the urn,
but I want to know, can I not even do it? I don't want to. My urn's all the other side of the kitchen. It's a heavy chilim pot. It's enough that somebody has to lift it up. They don't want to carry it over to the other side of the kitchen. Or another reason, to make it realistic, another reason why you might want to use a intermediary cup. exactly. Very good. Because you don't want the steam from your chalent to hit your urn and be nibbling your urn, and now you have to, now you're becoming the Rav of the Shiloh of Issa v'Heter. Is my urn fleshers now? I like to use make coffee, or make, you know, use this water for coffee and with milk. So do I have a flesher urn now? And so that's a real consideration. If you're gonna hold the urn straight over the chunk, or carry the chunk pot underneath the urn, and the covers, and you take off the cover, then the huge smoke pillar of fleshera smoke, fleshera zeya, that's a real shaila. Going onto a hot urn, that's a real shaila. So a way to solve that would be to use something else. Pour it into a disposable styrofoam cup. And pour it from there into or pour it into a fleshera cup, whatever, and from there into the chalent pot. Is that okay? So I said already, Rav Moshe Elz is not okay, but many poskim say it is. Many poskim say that that's not. It's since when you poured it into that other keli, it was al das. It was all al das to go back onto the esh. You poured it there al das to move it from there, and it maybe totally in a certain sugya in Pinel Mechel Mechel, but lemaisa many poskim say it's mutter to do this. I believe in the Sefer Shris Yitzchak, he brings B'Shem Rabbi Yashav, that better to do this, and even if there's a tzad kula in this, better to be making on this rather than start creating shilas of fleshera, if you're having a fleshera urn instead of being making on drinking coffee out of your fleshera urn. Others as well. Many poskim say it is mutter to do it this way, with the cup in between. One more consideration before we have to go on. Within this sugya, one more thing that the post can deal with is, let's say that the chalent is really drying out to the point where there's pretty much no water in it anymore, and it's basically roasting now. It's sitting in the crock pot, dry, so dry and fire, so that's l'char, it's not bishel anymore. It's tzli. And we learned a month or so ago, more than that, we learned that there's an issur of bishul achatzli on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do bishul achatzli. So, if you're adding the water to the chalent pot, maybe that's bishul achatzli. Now you say, well, it started as bishul, right? Originally, the chalent was bishul; it was cooking. Then it became tzli. Tzli means roasting without liquid. So maybe bishul achatzli achar bishul is not such a problem. But if you remember, the Bir Lacha says it is. He brings a Prima Gadim, Taka says it's okay. The Prima Gadim says there's only an Isra of Bishal Achar Tzli, or Tzli Achar Bishal. But Bishal Achar Tzli Achar Bishal, once you have both were done already, then there's no problem doing the first one over again. So, but the Bir Lacha is Cholik. The Bir Lacha says he believes there is a problem of Bishal Achar Tzli Achar Bishal. So the post can say, oh, so they quote to the Bir Lacha, if your chalent is really, if it's just that the water level is diminishing and you want to catch it before it's too late, okay. But let's say it's already gone, there's no water left. Is that a problem? So, to make a long story short, the Ksos HaShulchan seems to say, yes, it's a problem. But again, many of the poskim, you look, there's many, I don't have the list of names here, but many of the contemporary poskim discuss this, and kimat all of them say that it's not a problem. We look at it just like as a hemshech of the bishul rishon. We don't view this as being a naya maisa bishul achatzli. We don't look at the fact that it was cooking without water as being tzli. There was a hemshech of the original bishul, and this is just considered bishul. This is not considered bishul achatzli achar bishul. And so the bottom line is, the poskim, by and large, do permit adding water as long as, again, the water you're taking from a source of heat, like an urn, and it was mevushal gamri before Shabbos, and it's still hot, and you pour it lefira moshe directly into the chalent pot, according to others, even through a klisheni into the chalent pot, and l'chatchila, as I said, you lift the chalent pot first and then put it back. If it's impossible to lift the chalent pot, there even mekila, Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, it'll be mutter to pour it directly in. Slowly, just pour it slowly so it doesn't do a lot of agitating of the chalent. Okay, we'll hold it here and let Hashem continue next time. Okay, what is that? So pour it slowly so it's not really considered agusa. Right. Okay, I'm gonna turn off, Doug. Take care. Oh, okay, good night, Stan. Nice having you. Bye, good night. Okay. See you for your participation and technological
not my expertise.
That's all right. Hey, good night.
Dr. Goldberg.